So the reading today is from Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading verses 57 to 80. You can follow on the screen, I think, as well. The birth of John the Baptist. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. Zechariah's song. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel." This is the word of the Lord.
Naming babies can be good fun. But it can also be a cause of considerable angst, especially when it comes to the question as to whether or not to give a child a family name. And in some families and in some cultures, that's the tradition, and woe betide you if you break with it. And that's what Elizabeth seemed to be doing. And at a time when Zechariah was on the back foot because he couldn't voice an opinion. You may remember he'd been unable to speak since the baby's birth had been announced to him by the angel Gabriel, and he hadn't believed it was possible because he thought that he and Elizabeth were far too old, as naturally they were. Nonetheless, he confirmed the name. In the Greek, it actually starts with the word John. So it actually says John is the name of him. I think he was pretty insistent about it. And actually, also, John means God is gracious. And so it seems to me that right from the beginning of this particular part of the big story, we've got a clue about what God is doing in sending Zechariah and Elizabeth a son in their old age. He is being gracious to his people. So Zechariah's action in confirming the baby's name was the trigger for his speech to return. It meant he finally accepted God's promise about who his son would be. And Luke records that the neighbours who'd gathered to celebrate the baby's birth were awestruck. There was a deep sense too, I think, of reverence amongst them. Something extraordinary, something of profound significance was happening right there in their little community. It was exciting, but it brought a reflective air of wonderment too. The news soon spread throughout the surrounding hills, and the people began talking and asking questions. Who is this baby? What's he going to be? God was at work, and so, as Luke explains, the Lord's hand was with him. Now, Zechariah was a priest, so I've no doubt he would have known and pondered the writings of the prophets and the promises of the coming Messiah. For him, those oft-repeated words of the stories of God's dealings with his people and the hope of redemption at last made sense to him by the birth of his son, and that to this elderly couple. Zechariah may well have recalled that God had done that before. You may remember the story too about Isaac being born to Abraham and Sarah. Very similar situation. They were too old as well, and Sarah laughed at the prospect. Nonetheless, the son arrived, and through him, the family continued. And so we find here a similar situation. And then Zechariah, prompted by the Spirit, bursts into song and praises God. And in doing that, I think he gives us considerable insight into God's continuing plan of salvation. The song became known, and still is sometimes, as the Benedictus, because that was the first line of the Latin version that was used throughout medieval Europe. And you might be familiar with the words if you know the BCP Matins service well. So Zechariah begins by focusing on God's plan of salvation and the coming Messiah. First, he looks back about 1,000 years or so to Israel's greatest king, King David. And the prophets said that it was through his family that redemption would come. And so Zechariah celebrates the salvation that will come to rescue God's people from their enemies and bring them victory over those who've hated them. For the Jews, there had been countless episodes in their history when they'd been attacked. You may remember some of the stories. The Amalekites were troublesome right from when they left Egypt and got near to the Promised Land. The Moabites and the Edomites, when they arrived in Canaan, troubled them quite a bit. Read more about that probably in the book of Judges. Later on, the warlike Philistines were forever trying to take some of their land. And then eventually Babylon and then Assyria annexed their land as part of their enormous kingdoms. Finally, now, at the time of this story, they were living under Roman occupation. So enemies were a big issue, and the Jews longed to be rid of them. But then Zechariah goes back about 1,000 years or so to Abraham, who the Jews regarded as the father of their nation. And God had made a covenant, an agreement with Abraham. He said that he would be their God, and they would be his people. And God promised to give them that land of their own and to make them a great nation, as many as the stars in the sky or the grains of sand on the seashore. Their side of the covenant was to obey God's law and so be able to serve him, as Zechariah says, in holiness and righteousness. In other words, they were expected to reflect God's nature and respect his purity in all they thought and said and did. And then finally, in his song, Zechariah addresses baby John, and in doing so explained who he was and where he fitted into God's plan of salvation and the coming of the Messiah. John's role was to be a herald, to go ahead of the Lord to prepare the way for him. And central to John's ministry would be forgiveness of sins, as preparation for the Messiah's coming. And that forgiveness was symbolised by baptism. That forgiveness too was an expression of God's mercy. He made a way for the people to prepare themselves for the coming of his son. And that, says Zechariah, will be like the dawning of a new day. Darkness would be turned to light. Those who lived in the shadow of death would be guided instead into the path of peace. Many of the Jews of Jesus' day imagined that the coming of the Messiah would free them from the Romans. That was their immediate issue. And they longed to be restored to be an independent nation, not answerable to Caesar. They looked for the glory and the triumph they'd experienced in their history under King David. But of course their horizon was limited really by their experience and what they could imagine. But actually, Jesus came to bring something much, much more radical than simply getting rid of the Romans. It wasn't a new earthly kingdom he was coming to bring, but the kingdom of heaven, an eternal kingdom that would deal with a much deeper problem than the Roman occupation. The enemy wasn't merely the surrounding nations, it was the sin that had entered the world and separated humanity from the God who'd made them and loved them. And no adherence to God's laws was ever going to break down that barrier. The only way that could be dealt with was through the coming of Messiah, the one Zechariah describes in his song as the Most High, the one for whom John would be the final one of all that long, long string of prophets. God's plan was to break into the world in a way he'd never done before and would never do again. The prophecies had been building up for 2,000 years and more, and they would all be fulfilled. There would be a new covenant, a covenant to replace the one that God had made with Abraham. And the new covenant would depend not on keeping the laws, but on God's Son coming and giving his life to die for sin and to rise again in defiance of death. Only through him could the way into God's presence be opened and death, the final enemy, be defeated. And so, as Rach reminded us earlier, as we come to communion in a few minutes' time, we come to remember not just that baby born in Bethlehem, although celebrate that we do, and again tonight, and again tomorrow, but the man who is God, who came and lived and died for us. There was absolutely nothing accidental about Jesus' birth or his death. It wasn't just that people got fed up with him and decided to be rid of him. It was part of God's plan for the salvation of the world. We're reminded later on in John's Gospel that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. A different John, John the Baptist, came to herald his coming. He came and invited people to repent of their sin. And so in the church's year, Advent is rightly a time of repentance, of penitence, a time of preparation. And we prepare ourselves not only to celebrate Jesus' first coming, but also to look forward to when he comes again. And then he will come not as a helpless baby, but he'll come in glory, and he'll come to take those who believe in him to be with him forever. Amen.